if you're a guy and you grew up in the 90s, 2000s, you have to have a Code Red Mountain Dew every 2 weeks or you just die.
It's a fact. If you haven't had one, go get one and you'll remember.
Yeah, that's biology. That's all that is.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So what are we going to start with?
You guys are really trying to get that Mountain Dew sponsor.
Yeah, start listening.
Yes, Code Red every 2 weeks. Wink, wink.
All right, are we ready to do this, Beals?
Yes.
Coming to you live from a fogged out vehicle somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the Ric Flair, Batista, and Randy Orton to my Triple H.
Woo!
The Vakeman, Ray, and Egon to my Winston. Because he's in town. And he's a fucking Ghostbuster. Frank. The Wheelman.
Yo.
Snort.
Hello.
And Silent John.
Hello, fellow movie connoisseurs.
Ooh.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
So, we got really high.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, we did. And we're going to watch a movie tonight.
We are. Is it a spooky one?
It is a spooky one.
Spooky.
Spooky. We're going to be watching VHS. VHS is a horror anthology movie. So basically it's like there's four little movies done by like different directors and different teams. And then there is a fifth movie that kind of bridges them all together, which you'll understand more as you watch it. And so that's a unique style in and of itself. Additionally, the movie is all shot from a first-person perspective.
Those are my favorite, though.
Yeah, the shaky cam, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But the storytelling is so good from that perspective. And the way that they get clever with the utilization of, like, how did a camera record this? Or how did, you know, it's not shot from, like, inside their eyes. It's all shot on cameras from a first-person perspective. So, like, somebody walking around with a video camera or a body cam or something like that.
I mean, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's pretty clever. And Frank has seen the first, like, couple minutes of one of the segments when he was in my office.
I feel like I almost went through
it. It was almost the majority of it, because you left before the boobies.
No.
Or all. Not, well, like, mid-boobies.
Oh, was there more? Hey-o.
It's a horror movie. Come on. So, he has seen a little bit of it, but he hasn't seen the entire masterpiece that is VHS.
Yeah, and I thought I could handle what I saw. I mean, it was creepy.
So since it's cut up into, like, little segments, it's a little bit more palatable. Even though the style carries through it all, it's still a little bit more palatable to watch.
What about you, folks?
Yeah. Other side of the couch, what's going on over there?
I don't know anything about it. What kind of scary is it? Is it, like, gory scary, like ghost scary, like... Okay, scary.
It's not like ghost scary. It's definitely gory scary. There's a lot of gore in it. It's like between B-movie horror and mainstream horror, like right there in the middle, where it's like still raunchy and like gross and gross out, but it's done well in a thrillerish kind of fashion. Mm-hmm. So you do get the heart jumps and there's like jump scares and stuff like that. Because it's all shot from that first-person perspective, it's easy to, like, come around a corner and something's fucking there.
Yeah.
You know? So like I think...
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. So I think... Well, Blair Witch Project... Because we can talk about that for a minute.
Mm.
Because that was the precursor of the found footage, first-person perspective type of horror movie. Like, they've done it before in the past, obviously, in, like, the 70s and 80s. But this was the one that broke out and, like, showed, like, you can make this cheap-ass fucking production... for like no money, and if you market it right, it can become a sensation.
Yeah, because Cloverfield did good too.
Cloverfield did good too. The thing about Blair Witch is that it's very good at tension building. Like, with the lead up of you putting yourself in the character's shoes, mm-hmm. and being able to feel what they're feeling in terms of the fear of being lost in the woods and all this weird fucking shit happening, like,
and she snots all over the camera.
Those type of movies make me mad because I'm just like, why don't you just turn around? Like, don't be stupid.
I don't think they're stupid in that movie, really.
No, they're just a couple of lost, scared college kids.
Yeah.
Poor bastards, yeah.
Just saying.
So this week was a very big week in the film world with San Diego Comic-Con coming out.
Totally.
And there were a multitude of trailers dropped, mm-hmm. most of them good. I've watched the majority of them. I know Frank has also.
Yep.
Silent John, I'm pretty sure you have. Mm-hmm. And Snort has watched none of them?
Jesus!
Yes. Nothing. Come on, focus.
Comic-Con trailers.
No, I haven't watched any.
No, you haven't seen any.
You're focus on the cast, not the brownie.
I'm gonna put this down.
Okay, focus. Here we go. Snort, what did you think about the Comic-Con trailers?
I haven't watched any of them.
You haven't watched any of them? No. Not a single one. So you don't know, like, what's going on superhero movie-wise? And
Nothing.
All right, so the next couple minutes aren't going to involve Snort, apparently.
Can I still have opinions?
You can have, yes, you can have opinions, okay. about the things you hear. The first thing I want to talk... The first trailer that I want to talk about is the trailer for Titans. DC had a huge showing at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Marvel really didn't drop that much of anything.
No.
I saw trailers for like a couple of cartoon shows, mm-hmm. but that's about it. The first trailer that DC dropped that I watched was the trailer for Titans, which is going to be a Teen Titans show, but set live action, and they're older, and it's going to be gritty as fuck.
Nice.
Like, the trailer had, like, fucking people getting shot, blood spurting everywhere. Robin at the beginning says fuck Batman.
Whoa.
Like, 'cause he like drops in on a fucking car and fucking robbers are like, oh, Robin, where's Batman? And Robin's like, fuck Batman. And then he fucking beats the shit out of him.
I wanna watch this trailer.
So it's gonna be fucking insane. I'm super looking forward to this. I believe DC is doing this on their own streaming service.
Yes. Really?
Yeah, so it's not going to be coming to like Netflix or TV or anything. They're doing it on their own streaming service.
I didn't know they had one.
And DC has always done TV very well. Better so than Marvel. Marvel's TV shows have been garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the first season or two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was meh the whole way through. Didn't even bother with Inhumans, which, understandably so from what people said about it after they watched it. But DC, like, The Flash. Flash is a great series. Green Arrow is pretty good. I've watched a little bit of that.
It was okay. It was all right.
But they tend to do serialized television a lot better than Marvel does, whereas Marvel, obviously, does films a lot better.
Way better.
Yeah.
No way.
So I have a really high expectation, because this is pretty much like fucking Nolan's Batman shit. Like, that kind of dark grittiness with all that violence and a hard R rating.
You know, I got a like a Watchmen kind of vibe with it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed Watchmen, but I've never cared about the Titans at all. I don't know, with the grittiness of it, I'd probably give it a chance, but I'm just kind of indifferent about it. It does look good, but I don't have like any desire to see it, just because I'm not a huge fan, though.
Yeah, and that's where I feel the same way about it. I want to see it, but a DC subscription streaming service...
I won't probably pay for that.
Yeah, neither will I. So it's like, it kind of sucks, but they should have put it on fucking TV or something, like, you know, normal fucking people.
Right.
Sorry, DC, you're not that good yet, you know? Disney, okay, I understand.
Like HBO or something.
Yeah.
That could have been good.
Yeah, like a Showtime series or something.
Yeah.
Cinemax, is Cinemax still a thing? Is that still a fucking thing?
I think so. I think.
Old balls.
I know we still got the Stars.
It was like 3 years ago when I worked there, so I'd say yeah.
The next DC trailer that dropped that I watched was the trailer for Aquaman.
Yeah.
And Jason Momoa Looks like a fucking badass.
God, he's great.
As always.
So good. So good. The one thing that kind of set me off, and I know it's irrational and I know it's stupid, is that there's so much CG.
Okay,
I understand. I understand that you are in an underwater world with giant sea creatures and a man riding around on them, and there's no way in hell to do it other than with CG.
Yeah.
But it's just so much CG.
But, like, I don't understand how... one of your favorite movies is Thor Ragnarok, correct?
It is.
And what that...
I don't know. It's
90% of it...
It's all about presentation, though, because...
But I think DC's stepping their game up with this one.
Yes, they are, but I agree.
The trailer looked great.
Yeah, but I think Marvel, with their CG work, does a lot better way of just using it as a seasoning rather than the entree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they use it for aesthetics, and they use it to make, like, great set pieces and everything, but they don't rely on it 100% for their big battle scenes and shit like that. Like, they do more work with actors and makeup and costumes and shit like that. Like, obviously, they use CG to build, like, the world around them and to use their powers and so on, but I don't know. It just feels a lot... Marvel feels a little bit more visceral when I watch their fight sequences than DC ever does.
I mean, fair enough.
Is there but any still, way I to think, make underwater I think, not CGI?
No.
You can do it a no, little bit. Where? But...
So I feel like they did the best they could.
And they're turning Aquaman, who was everyone thought was the biggest douche forever, and then they turn him to the ultimate badass. Like, it's a great story.
Oh, no, I'm 100% excited. I'm going to watch the hell out of it. I just personally, like... It's just off-putting when I see that much CG in a movie to me. Like, when I'm watching it, it just doesn't... I don't know.
I'm right there with you. That's my... The trailer was good. It really was, and it's not that I don't want to see it, but the visuals stood out a lot to me. It seems silly. It does, but it just looks... It makes it look kind of muddy. Choppy sometimes.
It's underwater. It's supposed to be choppy, John.
I know. I get it.
I agree. I agree with Frank's earlier statement that Aquaman being a little bitch character, like, in the comics and always made fun of over the years, and then being able to pull Jason Momoa. Like, I saw a shot of him in, like, the orange armor with the green fucking underpants armor and shit. And even that, he looked fucking badass. So, Jason Momoa's gonna be a fucking badass. It's gonna be one of the best DC movies. I'm not saying it won't be. It's gonna be up there with Wonder Woman. But it's still DC. It's not... Like, I always feel that Marvel on their worst day is generally better than DC on their best day.
No. I think Wonder Woman...
Not including, like, the original Daredevil and Elektra and all those shitty movies.
Why not?
Because that's when Fox had all the fucking properties.
Well, because that's what I was going to use as an excuse.
See? See? You got to take Fox out of the equation.
That's not fair. Okay. If you do that, then yes.
I'm saying the MCU.
Okay.
Let's say MCU.
I was going to come after you.
I know you were. Speaking of that, the Fox Disney merger looks like it's going to be happening. Comcast was in the running and they dropped out this week. So, in the near future, we have the potential of getting, like, all the characters together again. And there's going to be an MCU version of, like, X-Men and fucking. Oh, it's going to be just fucking phenomenal. The implications of what they can do from this point are really high with Comcast dropping out and Disney getting the fucking coin.
Disney's about to own everything. At this point, it feels like it. Which, it's in that aspect, it's cool, but in other aspects, it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Walt would be so fucking proud of what they've been able to accomplish just in the last, like, 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just started buying up all those properties, and it's like, all right, we'll drop fucking $1 billion for Star Wars. Thanks, Lucas. You know?
Yeah, I'm crazy.
What if we got a super, like, Disney movie where it was, like, a full Disney crossover and, like, Star Wars and Marvel and everybody combined?
Oh,
like,
I thought Darth you were going Vader. For Disney princesses oh, in there, God. Too?
Disney princess. Well, I guess, you know what? We do have that.
That's
gonna be
the
called,
main part of Disney!
It's going to be called Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yes.
If it was Marvel versus Star Wars, who do you think would win? That's a good question.
I gotta say Marvel. Because just like my earlier comparison of DC and Marvel movies, a mutant on their worst day is still going to be stronger than a Jedi on his best day.
I don't know. I think Yoda could fuck them all up.
I think even Darth Vader could, kind of.
No, because
no, he's too emotional.
Professor Xavier, with the powers that he has, would just get into their brain and crush their mind. Like, invisible one, just put a fucking bubble wrap. Squeeze,
the
they're
force
dead.
Can cancel that shit
no,
out.
It cannot.
Yes, it can.
No, it cannot.
Absolutely.
No,
wow.
The force is more of like a chi art form type thing, like.
Not necessarily. Nope.
You know?
Like airbenders.
Yeah, and it's less of a,
don't you bring in the snap.
So the last big trailer that came out was the trailer for Shazam. Mm. Shazam is the story of a little boy named Billy Bastion, who upon saying the magic words Shazam, turns into superhero Shazam. And he's still a grown, like, he turns into a grown-ass fucking man, like, super god fucking Superman type guy. And but he still has, like, the mentality of, like, an 8-year-old kid. I think this movie's going to be really good. I like the direction they're going. I like seeing DC have a little sense of humor again. Like, if you think about, like, the original, like, Tim Burton Batmans and stuff like that, like, there was a lot of humor involved mm-hmm. in that, where it's just gotten super gritty and dark lately. So it's really good to see them not going down that path again and trying something new. So I'm really looking forward to this movie. I think it's going to be one of their best.
It was my actual favorite trailer that came out. It another character that I really don't care about, but just that trailer gives you that sense of DC, like you said, you haven't seen in so long. It's just like, I miss this. And then, I don't know, Zachary Levi is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan traditionally, but in this trailer, he... plays a man-child so well. Like, it's obviously an adult, but the reaction as him, you know, with the kid brain still, it just comes across mm-hmm. so good, so natural. And like I said, I'm not a fan traditionally, but this trailer, like I said, this 3-4 minute trailer kind of sold me. I'm excited.
So the problem I have with the trailer is I feel like it's kind of Deadpool-ish, like a knockoff, but not as violent. And I think he looks stupid. Like, it looks like he's in a suit that someone plugged a hose into and blew up. Just, like, it's so unnaturally...
Like the sumo Halloween costumes.
Well, no, I agree. It looks like a little kid's costume where it's, like, got the muscles, like, the foam muscles padded onto
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Like, it does look kind of jokey. I don't think Zach Levi bulked up for this role
at all. Like, so, and I feel like his face looks skinny, so it's just like
they use the suit to compensate. Just, we
he's
got
like an Earthworm Jim type thing going on, where he's got the tiny little head and the big ass body. Zachary Levi, he's always played a good man child. On Chuck, that was his entire role, was like a man child type thing. He's good at it and he's funny at it, and I think giving him superpowers just makes it all the better.
Makes it awesome, yeah.
Makes it all the better. And I don't think it's going to be so much of a Deadpool vein. I think it's going to be more of a, like, loose comedy, family-type comedy.
Yeah.
More so than a Deadpool dirty-ass comedy.
But wasn't it rated R?
I don't think so.
I thought it was rated R.
PG-13.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe that's why I thought it was Deadpool knockoff-ish. Because I thought it was, like, kind of raunchy.
I don't know. DC usually tries to cast a wide net. I couldn't really see them going for a R rating. If they hadn't pushed their Batmans or their Justice Leagues into R's yet,
I thought
that's why it was like such a big deal. No, otherwise, I don't see it really being that. I mean, it's cool. But
aside from the puffy suit,
the puffy suit and the lightning bolt looks fucking dumb. Looks too fat, and I don't know. I don't like it. The suit in general just pisses me off.
So, an interesting thing about the character of Shazam, the actual character's name is Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big thing between, like, DC spit in Marvel's face by calling them Captain Marvel. And, you know, because Marvel also has their own Captain Marvel.
They can do that?
Yeah, but, well, this was, like, back in, like, the, you know, 40s and 30s and shit like that.
Hmm.
Back in the days of loose comics ethics and business practices where you could smoke in buildings and wife stayed at home. Raising the kids. Make America great again.
Oh.
Okay.
Where did this go?
Do we need to watch this movie?
So we are going to be watching this movie. Because it's already getting very late.
We haven't even started.
We haven't even started. So we're going to watch this movie.
Do we know how long is this movie?
I want to say it's like an hour 40, something like that. It's not
I
bad.
Always have to know how long
it is. Like, it's not like super long.
Okay.
It's not super long. I think Snort's going to go get her Bible.
Jesus. Lord help me.
And we're all going to cuddle up on the couch.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch this fucking movie.
I'm going to go for the floor. My back
hurts.
Yeah,
I'm laying on the floor.
Fucking do it. Me and you, John. Sup?
Nice and tight.
Sup?
That ain't tight. It's a big couch. Y'all we'll guys ain't that big.
Wink.
Double wink. Is that a blink?
It was a bit of a blink. So we're going to watch this fucking movie. And we will see you guys on the other side.
Woo!
Woo doggy.
And now, our feature presentation.
I bought the movie, Snort bought the snacks, and we're back, and we just watched VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, there was a point in the movie where a good friend over here, Snort, checked out.
She gone.
Dude.
So there was a point where, like, I'll give her a commendation. She made it through the first segment. But there was a point in the second segment where she was like, this is too scary. I'm just going to take a nap.
I'm like, the only way I can get out of this is just to go to sleep.
That's exactly what happened. I got scared and then shabazz.
And it was over. And
it didn't wake back up.
And that was game over. Which is probably for the best. Because yeah, probably. It did get scary afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't even make it to the throat slitting scene
that
in the second segment.
That was kind of crazy.
Like
you know where I fell asleep at? Hmm. Whenever, like, the camera was on, and it was showing the guy, and then it goes over to the girl, and then you're like, oh my god, someone else is in there. Nope, done. Out. That part freaked me out, and I'm done.
Yeah.
This is too real. Like, it looked like...
I know.
I don't like that.
Alright, well, let's start at the part that Snort did see. Let's start with the first segment, which not including the overarching segment because I don't really include that as a movie, although it had scary elements. The first segment with the succubus / vampire monster.
Yeah, what the fuck?
The I like you segment.
It was weird.
It was really weird.
I didn't like it at all.
Was it just like too violent for you? Was it too many boobies?
Yeah,
like,
and I don't like that. Anyways. Not into that. I don't know. I just did not enjoy that.
That's part of it's a staple of horror. That's just...
Yeah.
It comes with the territory.
I just wish I would have known more. It was just like everything kept happening, but there's nothing explaining anything.
Yeah, I had no clue what was happening for the first, like... I don't know how long of it I saw until I fell asleep, but I had no clue what was happening the whole time.
Yeah, the beginning segment, like where the overarching story starts or whatever with the guys that are fucking up the place and... fucking getting the chicks in the fucking parking garage and shit like that, like that's like it's very choppy, there's not a lot of story to it. I feel that at least the actual segments themselves had some kind of story, even though there wasn't like
some, but
yeah, I don't know. I feel that the first segment's the strongest. That's probably my personal favorite. I've watched that segment more than a few times.
That's the one I saw with that your
yeah that's the office. One you watched in my office. So the second segment, which I feel is one of the more weaker ones, is the one where Snort checked out, which is the couple that's on honeymoon.
I like the twist in that one, though, probably
with
the most.
Where the creepy girl at the beginning was the girl's girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, And the fucking switchblade to the throat in the sleep, that's
pretty hardcore.
Fuck. A creepy motel, of course, a creepy motel. Like, how many of those are in there?
Yeah, well, first off, the special effects in this movie were really, really good. I really love the practical effects because they did a lot of really good makeup work. You know, there wasn't that much CGI. There was a little bit of CGI blood that I've noticed when I've rewatched it a couple times, but overall, it's pretty much just great practical effects, which I enjoy in a horror movie.
John, what do you think?
Well, I think I hyped myself up a little too much to watch this movie, and that kind of, like, soured my opinion on it. I think I had really high expectations, and it was a decent movie, but I don't know. The acts were, in my opinion, hit or miss. I like the rawness of the first couple ones and how real it felt. That kept me kind of hooked in there.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they kind of tackled a whole bunch of different, like, supernatural and aliens and all ghosts, you know, and
fucking little girls in white dresses that appear and just fuck that.
Well, that's something that's really...
I was asleep.
Yeah, you were asleep for that part, definitely. But that's something about this movie that I did want to showcase when I brought it up was, because when you look at all the segments in total, it's every horror movie. It's very much like Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Because you've got your crazy vampire demon succubus monster at the beginning, you've got creepy stalker, the strangers type murderers.
Yeah.
In segment two, segment three is the one with the killer at the lake with supernatural powers. Segment four is alien/ghost demon baby monsters.
Yeah.
And segment five is your classic haunted house tale with cult
craziness
thrown into it. Yeah, you missed that. That's what you missed out on, Snart.
God. Guys, it's such a good thing I went to sleep.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you picked the best possible point. Where you're going out.
Like, it did its job. Like, definitely got scared a couple times. I got the heebie-jeebies.
I saw little jumps, like, when the Switchblade first came out. I was like, oh, God.
Because it was just so... I was expecting a knife, not... It was just the quickness and the... I don't know. But to the throat, like... Because the first time she plays with the girl, like, with her thong or whatever. So then you think it's going to be gentle, all of a sudden... He's gone.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a... It took a quick turn on that one.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But, like, overall, I would totally watch Cabin in the Woods again over this one.
Yeah.
As a movie standpoint. But well, this one obviously scared me more than Cabin in the Woods.
Well, after you talked such a big game after the last one, you were like, ooh, I could take this shit.
Well, I took it, didn't I?
You did take it, but I wanted to showcase something a little bit more. Because Cabin in the Woods, while being a good horror movie all around, it's still very comedic. It's got its, you know, it's a little bit tropey.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit more visceral, where it's a little bit more violent. A little bit more... It's everything that horror in a genre is.
Yeah.
So it's like Cabin in the Woods, but Cabin in the Woods, instead of being a comedy, it's Cabin in the Woods that's fucking brutal.
It was brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, third segment, Killer at the Lake.
Eh.
Not one of my favorites again.
I'd say my least favorite. That's where it kind of started pulling me out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't like that you couldn't get a good look at him. Like,
yeah. It felt very, like, cybernetic, and I just didn't work for me. Given the fact that it's on VHS
and they're in cyber mode.
Yeah, but the little bits where it was flashing in, like, the dead bodies.
Yeah.
And the, you're all gonna die up here. that was a little creepy. Like,
yeah.
But that was a bit heart-jumpy.
I should have started eating some of the mushrooms on the tree.
Oh, maybe they did. Maybe that's the twist.
Oh, jeez.
They were tripping balls.
Yeah, you missed that, Snort.
You missed that one. Segment four was the... Which I thought was a clever way to keep in the overarching thing of the film of, you know, the first-person perspective, the Skype conversation between the dude and his supposed girlfriend who's getting haunted by the little child ghost that... I don't know. I always interpreted it that they were alien monsters of some kind, and that he was some kind of military something or other, because they were talking about military bases.
Yeah.
So I thought they were just like aliens that were personifying as ghosts, and they had to take the baby out of her stomach, and then you see the chick that, or his other chick that, so apparently he's doing this all the time. So I like that one. That's probably my second favorite of this movie.
I didn't expect the twist that I went with.
I didn't expect the twist either.
The way I started kind of following the movie is it seemed like for each like individual like VHS tape, it seemed like one was like supernatural, then one would get kind of more in the real world, and then supernatural. So following, you know, like the cybernetic looking thing, I thought it was going to be more real. So I thought this dude was about to just witness like his wife or girlfriend just get just murdered, just in the worst possible way, you know. And he's just, what can he do? He's on the other side of the world in front of a laptop. And then that happened. I was like, okay. It was good, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The overlying part of the movie, like I said, in those moments where it pulls me back in, kind of pull me back out too. I feel like they tried really hard to tie the outside part of them being in the house to all these little videos.
But I don't know if
and it lost me on how they connect. You know, I don't know.
No, I feel that.
Yeah, I did like the little quick segment between, I think it was the third and the fourth tape, where it just shows the chair and the guy's not there, and then it just goes right into the next tape. I thought that was, like, because after that third one was ending, I'm like, ugh. I don't know if I want to go through another five-minute segment of the main story. Yeah. Like, let's just get on with the next fucking segment.
I think if you maybe saw what happened, because they'd film themselves putting the tape in, tape would be over, and then they'd be gone, whether that dead guy was there or not. I just kind of want to know what happened to him. I feel like that's what ties it all together. But you don't show it or visit it. They're just gone.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of what this was because of its short format. Things just are in these. Whereas in a lot of other horror movies, things are more explained. Like, oh, these cabin in the woods, these zombie redneck families came because there's this happening. Yeah. That's why they are there. Yeah. Jason is here because this. Like, there's a linear reason, whereas these things just are, and you just have to accept them as they are and empathize with the characters in the thing and be like, oh, if this situation was happening to me, because it gives you that first-person terror.
I think it's more about, like, the showing than the telling. Like, this movie, I guess, if you look at it in that sense, it doesn't need a story, because it just wants you to take in the visuals that you're seeing, the things that you're not used to seeing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that knife to the throat. When are you going to see that?
Right.
So, yeah. I think they went for that more raw, like, we don't need to tell a story. You're about to be slapped in the face with this. So, I don't know. It was interesting.
All right, and then we move on to segment five, which was the classic Haunted House on Halloween story.
Like, those kids are, get the fuck out of that house. Go back for the girl. No, fuck that. Wait,
you're going to leave that poor innocent girl up there when there's more of you than there are
when
of them?
You've already thought you've seen, like, a girl vanishing in the hallway, and then the kid with the camera, like, you see it, and then they're like, oh, let's go upstairs, and that happens. Fuck that, but I'm running!
That's a classic horror movie thing.
But, like, that's what pisses me off about the camera filming part. Like, don't be a dumbass! Leave!
No, it's what's that noise? Let's go investigate. That's what horror movies are.
The whole time I'm watching, like, you're an bitch. Idiot. Like, you deserve to die.
No, not going to investigate.
I'm just gonna go to sleep. Nope, yeah, that's it, I'm out. Something scary's happening. Snort just goes out. That's it.
I'm not investigating anything.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know. That one had some great creepy imagery with the people getting sucked into the ceiling and the hands coming out of the walls. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was really well done. Obviously, there was a lot of CG in that, but I think it was done well.
Yeah.
Decent.
I mean, granted, the scale of the movie was, obviously, it wasn't a big budget movie. Right. So they made it work, and it wasn't the worst, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the impressive things, like, rewatching it again. I've seen it a few times, but this time around I'm watching it, and the first segment with the kid with the spy glasses, there wasn't, like, movie trickery there where they, you know, were shooting a camera at a open window mirror, and he's on the other side looking at the camera. Yeah. Like, that was legitimately, like, the videography was legitimately him in a lot of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's an impressive feat.
It is.
You know, to be able to strap a camera to your actor's face and still get something usable out of it.
Yeah, they're living the shot.
Yeah.
No, I like that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was VHS.
Yeah.
That was the whole movie. So, at this point, I think Snort is checking out on the Great Horror Experiment.
Yeah, I think she's done.
Yeah. Sorry, can't hang.
No. So on those nights that me, Silent John, and Frank are going to be doing Horror Night, I guess Snort can watch Big Brother and...
Yeah, I'll just take a nap. Take a nap. It's true.
Well, we'll still get really
can
high.
Can I still smoke weed?
We'll still get, really high before.
Yeah, I'll do that, and you guys come in here and do your movie thing, and I'll go to the bedroom.
You could just check out for the movie. Like, we'll do the beginning of it. We'll do the podcast together. Okay. And then you'll be like, peace out. And then after it's over, you'll be like, so what was the movie about, guys?
Yeah.
You could run the second half of the show.
I could what?
You could run the second half of the show and interview us about the movie.
Oh, wow.
How much fun would that be?
Yeah, that's a fun idea.
Booyah. So you can't hang, so you just have to take a nap while we watch the movie and then interview us.
Guys, that's completely fine with me.
I feel like she gets the better part of the deal. Can I switch places?
No, I feel sleep first. It's my role.
Damn it.
Well, I mean, you know, we got to get you ready for Halloween, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
We're getting close.
So coming up on the slate, we got a little bit of a break because Buddy Frank here is going to Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a little break while he's out there. And then next movie we're going to see The Meg in theaters.
Meg. Jason Statham and giant fucking sharks.
I'm always down for a giant monster movie, and giant sharks just make it better. I'm all in on this. I think it's going to be, you know, better than like Sharknado and all those stupid sci-fi movies.
I would
hate the shark. Better
great
than Deep
expectations
Blue Sea.
There. Deep Blue Sea people like okay, the CG was shit, but like I didn't think it was that bad. I kind of liked it.
What, Sharknado?
No.
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
A shark connoisseur such as yourself does not know Deep Blue Sea?
No.
Sam Jackson? LL Cool J?
LL Cool J?
A shark motherfucking eats Sam Jackson.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, no, I've never seen this
shark. It's like, Deep Blue Sea is this movie about like they're on this underwater base and they're breeding hyper intelligent sharks. So basically they took like the raptors from Jurassic Park and they're like, ah, fuck it, you're sharks now. You're still going to eat Sam Jackson, but you're fucking sharks.
Yep.
Wow, I need to see this.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's one of the best bad amazing shark movies
exactly.
of all time.
Exactly, best bad.
Best
bad.
That's
awesome.
So then a couple weeks after Meg comes out, we're probably going to go see Happy Time Murders in theaters, which is the Melissa McCarthy funny puppets fucking each other funny weird fucking movie.
Super excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fucked up.
You guys watch the trailer after this.
Yeah, we'll watch the trailer and you'll see how amazing it is.
Oh god.
And then in between those 2 weeks, I'm thinking about we should probably do another horror movie so we don't get off track. So we're on track to get there for Halloween.
Yeah, so what's next?
So we're going to move away from exploring the genre as a whole and deconstructing it. We're going to move into something that's an actual full horror movie film, start to finish, story, the whole nine.
Okay.
Very creepy. It's going to be creepy. It's not ghosts.
Okay.
It's kind of demons, maybe, but not like Satan demons. Just like weird demons. I don't. There's no real good way to explain it.
Okay.
The movie that we're gonna watch is called It Follows.
Oh,
John.
I've been dying to watch this movie.
Oh my gosh, It Follows is basically the story of this entity that is a sexually transmitted disease. And so basically you could pass this evil entity and all it wants to do is murder you. And you could pass this evil entity to somebody else by fucking them and it starts chasing them instead. And then when it kills them, it goes back to you and so on and so forth down the chain. Now this thing will follow you 100% of the time. It will keep moving. It will keep coming after you. But it only walks at a slow pace. The things, it comes after you 100% of the time. It's creepy as dicks.
Hmm.
It's creepy as fucking
sounds dicks. Really weird.
It sounds weird, but it looks
it
so
is.
Good.
The cinematography and the tension building in this movie are some of the best examples. It took like film festivals all over the place because it was such a fresh take. It's great. So I think we're going to cram that in between the two cinema experiences.
Oh, I like it.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. And then you can come back and ask us about it.
Yeah.
One question. When's the next movie?
It's about like... probably about 2 weeks.
2 weeks, huh? Sounds just about time for a Code Red.
Ooh, that cool, refreshing Code Red taste. Code Red Mountain Dew at your nearest retailer.
Oh,
sponsor us. And that's going to be our show. If you like what we're doing... like and subscribe and leave a comment on some shit.
We still have something to talk about.
You can't interrupt me in the middle of the outro.
What?
Is that important?
Dublin!
Dublin is important.
Dublin, we didn't forget.
We just wanted to say hi again, Dublin. Thank you for listening. You should follow us on Twitter and recommend, if you're a horror fan, recommend some horror movies that we should get Frank over here into. That would be fucking awesome.
You can take your time on that. It's yeah. fine.
Make sure it's creepy as fuck. I want to hear him fucking cry like a little bitch.
What? I mean, that escalated. You can apologize.
I'm sorry.
Thank it's you. Just,
he keeps coming out of these horror movies I think are going to, like, you know, at least somewhat traumatize him because of his horror fear. And he's always like, that wasn't too bad. That wasn't too bad. So I really want to get him.
Ain't got me yet, sucker.
Ooh. So that's going to be our show.
That's it.
So yeah, again, if you like what we're doing, like, share, subscribe, whatever. Do that thing. Tell your friends. Follow us on Twitter at TH Cinema Podcast, or you can email us at thcinemapodcast@gmail.com. So if you see four people sitting on a fucking porch getting really high before they go in and watch a movie, you should come over and say hi. It might be us.
Bye.
Sayonara.
Goodbye.
Bye. It's only in the roots dance. Where the records are play, see the dark of them are sway by the DJ and DJ. Alright, are we ready?
Ready.
Ready to do this? Yeah? Oh, God. Jonathan. You should see, like, what the waveform looks like on the thing. You know what it looks like?
All right.
It looks like...
It's so sticky.
I know, it's hard to talk. It really is.
Well, that's a soundbite and a half right there.